In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Beatles sang, "All You Need Is Love." We say that we love the Buffalo Bills and we love the Buffalo Sabres, although the Sabres are kind of hard to love sometimes. We love ice cream. We love our homes. On this Mother's Day weekend, we say that we love our mothers and our fathers. We love our children and our siblings. We love our husbands and wives. We love our country. We love the church. We love our God. We also love Brad Pitt, Angela Jolie, and Jennifer Aniston. The English language limits us a bit because we have only one word, love, to use to describe our many nuanced feelings about many different types of things and relationships. Koine Greek, the Greek of the New Testament, has three different words for the shades of meaning that we use when we talk about love. Philia is a Greek word meaning love. It's the root word of philosophy, meaning the love of knowledge. It's also the root word of philanthropy, meaning the love of humanity. We might best define philia as a kind of brotherly love, like the love that we have for our country, or the love that we have for the Bills. Eros is another Greek word for love. It's the root word of our English word erotic. It refers to a romantic, carnal kind of love, like the love between a husband and wife. Agape is another Greek word meaning love. Agape refers to love in its highest, purest form, the self-giving, self-sacrificing love that Christ has for us is the quintessential example of agape. The love that Christians should have for one another, the love that Christians have for the whole world, is that agape type. To promote, to share, to spread that kind of love around is the proper goal of mothers and fathers and spouses and, of course, the church. Parents should strive to raise their children in an atmosphere where they have a safe foundation from which to grow and then reach their independence. Mothers strive to give their children both roots and wings. In the wedding service, we pray that husbands and wives will love, forgive, and sacrifice for one another in such a way that they themselves will become a symbol of Christ's love for the world. And in Christian love, the church reaches out to the world with God's life-giving word, and we assist the needy as we're able. Even as good and right as love is, love can still be tainted, even corrupted by sin. Sin permeates everything in this world, and some kinds of love can be toxic. One way that love gets twisted is when it becomes too indulgent. I've seen, and I'm sure you have too, parents who can just not say no to their children. Some parents act as if discipline is the opposite of love. Trying to be loving to their children, they give their children anything and everything they want and let them do whatever they please without consequences. Children can become petted tyrants. That's a recipe for the creation of a spoiled, self-centered future adult. Fortunately for us, God, our Heavenly Father, loves us enough to correct us. He gives us commandments to follow. For our own good, He sometimes allows us to receive the consequences of our actions when we transgress His law, so that we might learn from that experience. Although God forgives all our sins, He also, in His wisdom, knows when to discipline those He loves to shape and refine their character making us more Christ-like. Another way that love becomes toxic is when it becomes too controlling. I've seen, and again, I'm sure you have too, parents or spouses who keep too tight a rein on their children or their wife or their husband, dictating all their decisions, not allowing them any privacy or freedom. It's impossible for one to grow or function as a healthy, mature adult person under such conditions. God guides us through His Word, but He allows us an incredible amount of liberty as to how to live out our lives within the boundaries He gives us. Love cannot be forced or coerced. For love to be genuine, it needs to be freely given. Related to a love that becomes toxically controlling is a love that gets ruined by jealousy. All too often in the news, we hear about people who harm their spouses or families, saying that they love them too much to let them leave them. If I can't have you, nobody will. That's not love. That's just sick. There is no place for violence in a loving relationship. Trust between partners is important in a marriage relationship because in a marriage, the essence of that relationship between husbands and wives is the promises that they make to one another of lifelong faithfulness. That is the kind of faithfulness that is commanded by God and only possible with His help. And the fidelity promise between partners in a marriage isn't just physical. It's emotional and spiritual too. It means that we comfort and console and protect and listen to one another and pray for one another too. Love then is both a divine gift from God and a tremendous responsibility on our human beings' parts. More than just a feeling like philia or eros, pure agape love commands certain kinds of actions that are prescribed by God, actions towards those we love, both God and human beings. Love isn't just something you feel, it's something you do. Just as God stays with us through good times and bad, so are we to stand by and support those we love through all of life's joys and sorrows. In the first commandment, God tells us that He is a jealous God. What does that mean? Does God engage in petty jealousy like a lovesick teenager? No. But God simply will not tolerate His people worshiping other gods. He alone is the Creator. Beside Him, there is no other God. God is jealous in the sense that He deserves and commands our total devotion. That's very important for our well-being because if there was any doubt, any ambiguity in our minds about who is our Lord and Savior, we would always be torn. We would never be sure who to turn to in a time of crisis. We would never have peace of mind. So you can't worship God and money, or God and Satan, or God or any other gods, just as you can't have more than one husband or wife at a time. There is no God but the Lord, and Jesus is His Son. God's single-minded love for us is seen most clearly in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus left His heavenly throne for our sake and was born a poor human child. Denying Himself the usual creature comforts of things like a home and a normal family, Jesus became an itinerant preacher and miracle worker, all the while telling people about God's redeeming love. To show the expanse of God's love, Jesus mingled with the worst kind of sinners. And those who could not fathom God's infinite love, the leaders, the authorities, rejected Jesus and persecuted Him. And Jesus went to the cross and He died there for our forgiveness on the cross. Blood and water poured out of Jesus' wounded side. Water symbolizing holy baptism, which is our initiation into the faith, into the church, and the blood symbolizing holy communion, which nourishes our faith. And on the third day, Jesus rose again, demonstrating the ultimate proof of the life-giving power of love, God's agape love. God's love and its healing, redeeming, reconciling power is here for us now. We hear it in the Word. We taste it in the sacrament. We feel it when we greet one another in Christian love. God loves us so much that he ignores the differences between himself and us. He willingly forgets that he is our creator and that we are dependent on him for everything. And instead of calling us servants or subjects, he calls us his friends. He treats us like colleagues. He treats us even better than family. Your mother probably loves you or loved you more than anyone else in the world. God loves you even more than that, if you can imagine it. So, rejoice in God's love. It's wondrous, and it surrounds you always. Amen.